Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier. I am here as always with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey Scott, how are you?
Fantastic. We are going to talk 10-day fasting ramp up challenge. We're going to talk about what it is that we actually do with Fasting for Life and hopefully bring some massive value today. I am fired up that December 3rd is right around the corner. Thanksgiving was fantastic. Feel good coming out of it. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Yeah, I feel great. It was a great Thanksgiving. Used a lot of fasting actually around it and right back into a fast now, but enjoyed Thanksgiving for sure. And pumped about the challenge coming up too.
Yeah, I love looking back last year before we started the podcast and thinking, okay, holidays are coming. I've been working hard for 6 months, you know, lost all the weight. And I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? Oh, you know what? Well, this holiday season's a little bit more enjoyable when I'm not worried about making sure that my, you know, button-down black shirt that's very forgiving is clean, or that, you know, I have a comfortable pair of jeans to wear to the holiday party, or I need to get the suit coat out and make sure it still fits. Like,
right.
It was a different holiday. And then this year was much like last year, where it was a lot more relaxed and felt good going into it, had a plan, did a longer fast going in, enjoyed, didn't overdo, but enjoyed the holiday. And, mm-hmm. and now we're gearing up to take a group of people through the 10-day ramp up. And I'm really liking the fact that we added this to the calendar this year and didn't wait until, you know, the holiday hangover wore off. And, you know, end of January, beginning of February type timeframe.
Yeah. And because that was the suggestion that a lot of people had. A lot of people said, well, no, I'm going to think about that stuff again in January or February. And we were like, well, that's, you know, you're so far down the rabbit hole. You have so much to undo at that point. You know, like my least favorite part about the holidays in years past was actually making the Thanksgiving and the Christmas plans. And then thinking about the family that I was going to be seeing that I hadn't seen for a while, and actually dieting going into that, knowing that I was heavier than I had been earlier in the year. So I need to diet before I see people that I haven't seen in a while, but then fearing what I might eat and how much I might gain during the actual holidays, and then what January and February were going to look like. It was like, I already knew what the roller coaster track looked like in my mind. And it was a really stressful time for me.
And the same, similarly, I agree, you know, what would happen with, you know, vacations, you know, we'd go on vacations and I'd prep and work so hard and then, you know, not falling off track, but just literally enjoying myself on vacation. I would come back and I'd be so far off my long-term low and slow goal that mm-hmm. I would get discouraged. And I just didn't like the way that felt. So no. It's empowering to know, everybody listening, that, you know, yes, guys do care. we do care. Like, this is stuff that bothers us too, especially I know for me, being a dad, not being a good example for the kids and having the energy and, yeah. you know, you tell your story about not needing naps anymore and just being able to like get right. down on the floor with them and play with them. And, you know, we're talking, you know, mid to late 30s here. So we're not talking 60-year-olds.
No, you know,
that's how life should be, right?
Right. That's exactly how it should be. And, you know, when we went to the park, we did a big, you know, family and friend gathering at the park the other day. And, you know, we're climbing around on monkey bars and just, you know, running around with dogs and kids. And just a few years back, it wouldn't have gone anything like that. It would have been sitting on the sidelines, just kind of watching everyone, you know, play and have a good time. And it's just a completely different experience now.
And we're not talking 100 pounds. We're talking 40 to 50 pounds. Like,
right.
that makes a huge difference. So Good transition into what we're doing. So we call it the 10-day fasting ramp up or the 10-day challenge. And the word challenge can almost be a little misleading, as almost like an aggressive tone to it. Like, we're going to challenge you. Like, come on, it's going to be hard. Like, I'm telling you, it is not that. So you and I had this realization just talking for the last few days where what it really is like a live accountability group training.
Yeah.
And I don't even think the training is the right word because it's so much more than that. And I think that's why, you know, when we first started this process of delivering our story and our message and wanting to take on, you know, the massive undertaking of spreading the word of how to prevent diabetes and the insulin friendly lifestyle and getting the word out that you have a choice when it comes to your path, when it comes to weight and health and all these other different things, mm-hmm. you know, what we realized is that really what we do is much simpler than what a lot of people think it is. And the live group training is 10 days of us. It's 10 days of the group. It's 10 days of the ability to ask questions and get feedback and plan and learn how to pivot. And I want to, before we, and it kind of merges right into the topic that we're going to talk about for the episode today as well, which is, you know, the why diets fail and the diet life balance and, you know, what you do when you get to maintenance. But there's so much more to unpack in this 10 days than what we can put on one registration page.
Right. And that's kind of the tricky part too. We're, you know, when we talk to, you know, a lot of listeners about, what it is that they'd like to see in a challenge like this, well, we keep hearing a few recurring things. One of them is community support. Like, I want a place where other like-minded individuals go and I can bounce ideas, you know, commiserate sometimes or encourage, right? You know, there's tough times for all of us, but also just finding the support and the energy and the feedback there to kind of keep going and, you know, to pivot when necessary. And so that 10 days doesn't just end after the challenge or the group training. It continues. That's lifetime access to the community. And some of the people in the community have been there for almost a year now, encouraging each other and just growing and feeding off of each other's energy.
I was on a Facebook Live this morning, dropping a message into the group, gearing up for the challenge. And I saw a name pop up. She was one of our original challengers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, yes, look it, re-engaging. Still has the support and is still there and doing great. So you just hit it there, man. And trying to summarize, and we've always said that we wanted this to be conversational, and that's why it's the, you know, send us emails, send us messages, and we do our best to get back as quickly as possible. And I'm sure there's been a few that we've missed over the last 11 months, 10 or 11 months. But the idea is that trying to instill what it is that we learned and we experienced that was so life-changing and trajectory-changing for us, the 10 days is really more of like everything you need to learn on how to use fasting to do just that. And I know that sounds like a big, like mic drop, like poof, here's all of this. Like, in 10 days, you're going to get all of it. The reality is it's simpler than you think, and it's tools, it's the psychology, it's the physiology. It's the ability to learn how to pivot. It's what intervals to use and knowing that you have the confidence and support to be able to use those intervals within a fasting and like-minded community, where if you tell someone, you know, coming out of Thanksgiving that you're going to fast for 48 hours, somebody might be like, well, what'd you eat on Thanksgiving? And they're like, well, no, that's not why I'm doing it. Like, I didn't go crazy on Thanksgiving and I'm going to make myself suffer for 48 hours. Like, this is part of my lifestyle. This is what helps me enjoy the holiday and then also know that I'm staying on track.
Yeah. And there's no regret involved. There's no give back. There's no planning for the next few weeks to get ahead of you know, the curve for Christmas and then beyond that. And, you know, so, and the power in the group training comes from, When we have live daily sessions, we meet daily on that, and it varies between training and Q&A, but the power of the conversation, like you said, keeping it conversational, when you start understanding the science and the psychology and the physiology, and then get to digest it and then come back and ask real world questions. Okay, this is happening to me today. This is how my schedule looks this week. What about when XYZ happens? And we're bouncing these ideas and these answers and suggestions and feedback. You know, you're learning from the whole rest of the group and all of their questions too. Like, that's an exponential power that's really kind of hard to describe until you start to experience that.
And you said something that made me think, well, yeah, you're taking responsibility over it, you're commanding it, you're controlling it. Where the opposite this time of year, what you could do is just stick your head in the sand and be like, nope, just going out, going dark for a little while. I'll think about this again, you know, in January or February. And we're going to deliver some value here too, in terms of discussing kind of how to unpack it, and not just for the challenge. Like, it's not just one big promo for the challenge. It was a realization in prepping for this challenge, for this live 10 days of live training, you know, that what we do and what we're trying to do is simple. And there's a few underlying threads, again, when it comes to the tools, the psychology, the physiology, and the intervals, that makes it really tangible. So I want to make sure that we don't just talk about, you know, the 10-day training the whole time, because it was like, it was cool. I mean, we have plenty of testimonials and excitement to just continue down that rabbit hole. I don't want to get buried in it though. the diet life balance, you know, the willpower. And then something that we get a lot is, not everybody's looking for weight loss. It's really like, how do I use fasting to maintain? So which one do you want to start with first, Tommy?
You know, I feel like that maintenance piece, getting off of the diet roller coaster and then on to the maintenance. I feel like we get that a lot, where people have a story about how they've gained and lost the same weight, or they've recently made some good progress.
20-30 right? pound swing, right?
Yeah. And then it was like failure to engage in maintenance mode. And so it ended up all coming back, and a lot of times, and then some, right?
Yeah. And that's where a couple of things I've just been thinking about is the diet life balance, right? Like, and the fact that like diets have a start and a finish to most people. Like, you're either on it or you're off it. You're either on the wagon, off the wagon. You're either in the diet world, or you're in the, I'm just going to stick my head in the sand and live my life world, or you're in the, because being in the middle doesn't really work either. You know, so that whole concept that diets have a start and a finish, you know, a lot of the 30-day weight loss programs and 90-day, you know, fat to fit programs, and all of the different things that are out there, typically have a start and a finish. And what it comes down to is knowing how to find something that works for you, where the diet doesn't become your life, but as we say, you know, planning your life around fasting and the fasting lifestyle and the insulin friendly lifestyle is where the power resides.
Yeah. And, you know, it sounds like what I used to say about going to the gym too, because as I've said before, I tied going to the gym heavily with my eating habits and my calorie counting and, you know, trying to get the fat off. And that was, you know, hey, how are your workouts going? Oh, well, you know, it's okay. I haven't really been going to the gym lately. I'm going to start back up.
Yeah. Right? Or I missed two this week. So yeah.
Maybe I'll start back up next week, or, you know, the first of the month, or after my birthday, or whatever it is, you know. So you have these on off hard stop cycles, but, you know, getting away from that and onto something that's sustainable, that you can maintain with, and that you can use for a maintenance plan and health maintenance, that's what we really want to drive home here. We spend a lot of time covering that in the challenge, and that's why we wanted to go into some of that today too.
And
hey, fasting fam, want to let you know about an incredible company that we've partnered with, aquatrue.com. Promo code fasting for life to receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. These are not your old school pitcher filters or your refrigerator filters. We're talking about a proprietary 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process. Their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing, which, if you've priced those whole home water filtration systems, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These incredible countertop versions, they do have one under sink mounting model as well, but they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, like I mentioned, and they're specifically designed to combat this new group of chemicals that the Environmental Working Group has done a deep dive on, these forever chemicals called PFAS or PFASs. These are in 45% of our U.S. tap water. 45%. These things can lead to endocrine system disruption, certain types of cancers, liver toxicity. And I'm so glad that there's now a countertop affordable version of this incredible technology. So as we fast, we know that water, outside of a little black coffee and tea, is the only thing that we drink. So if we're trying to get the biggest bang for our buck, we're trying to increase autophagy, allow our bodies to heal, shed the weight, get healthy, reverse disease, then why not give it the absolute best quality water that you can? So AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. It even makes a great gift, like I mentioned, my aunt and uncle. Today, as one of our loyal listeners, if you support them, you're supporting us. You're going to get 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to aquatru.com. That's AQUATRU.com and enter code FASTING FOR LIFE, FASTINGFORLIFE. That's 20% off any of the AquaTru water purifiers at aquatru.com.
One last thing on the, I want to go into willpower too here shortly, but one last thought on this, you know, on off thing, right? So when we're looking at the end result, we have to have the end result in mind. So what does the end result look like for you? What does the end result look like for me? Well, it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be around this concept of, you know, living life to the fullest, having energy, having focus, having, you know, good sleep, having healthy relationships, having, you know, less stress, having ideal body fat percentage, having a certain level of strength, right, in the gym if you're a lifter, mm-hmm. having the endurance to be able to go to Disney with the family and not be the guy sitting on the bench eating a turkey leg, right? Like, well, please enjoy the turkey leg, but you don't have to be the guy sitting down having the turkey leg. You get right. to choose to do that. And usually when people get to maintenance, is what happens is because they're not using fasting as a tool, or they haven't used it long enough, or they don't really know what to do with it. And then the old psychology and the things that come along, and I'm going to define the word willpower here in a minute, and then not understanding exactly what the physiology is and maybe thinking that like, oh, I'm slowing down my metabolism or I'm doing long-term harm. Being able to know that when you lose that 20 pounds, you have the ability to stay there and maintain it. Like, that's the whole point. Like, whatever that end yeah. result looks like, all of that stuff I just mentioned, right? Like bits and pieces for different people. Like, we all have different motivating factors, but like, end result is to feel good, to look good, to have confidence, to, you know, like look good in the date night, right? Like mm-hmm. all of that stuff. So why then does it fail so often for so many people?
Yeah. I feel like it's not really being discussed. Whatever method you're using to get to that maintenance point. And for a lot of us, it's a number on the scale. And once you get there, you may know you've hit that, but you don't necessarily have a plan to actually maintain it. So if you were calorie counting, okay, what does your new calorie count need to be? If you were using fasting intervals or you were doing OMAD or something else, okay, well now what? If you don't want to continue to lose weight, then what do you need to do now?
And the right? problem with that, I feel like, is a lot of people go back to their old habits at that point, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They go back to doing the things that got them into the place they didn't want to be in the first place. And I am 100% speaking from experience. Like mm-hmm. I am the president, vice president, and the board of this club. I know you're there with me. We're co-presidents. So like, this is it. This was what we did. So it's looking at, you know, almost like the schedule of how to use the intervals to your advantage. And it's really just coming from being able to do it consistently and kind of use the different variations and try some things and figure it out and kind of tweak the process. So like, I was listening to someone that I follow on Instagram. He's a doc, a functional medicine doc in North Carolina. And he was talking about his fasting schedule. Now, I know him well. And he was talking about how like Monday through Thursday, he does a 20-hour fast. So he eats in a 4-hour window from like 2 to 6. Mm-hmm. And then on Fridays, he does Thursday to Friday, he does 6 to 6, which is a 24-hour window. There's a lot of benefit to the OMAD or the 24-hour fasting cycle, which you and I love. Mm-hmm. And especially if people have done more of the intermittent, like 16-8, 18-6 window, which is kind of the starting point for a lot of people when it comes to fasting.
Right.
What I mean by window is, you know, when you're fasting, you're not drinking anything other than coffee, tea, and water, no sweetened beverages, no food, right? And then in the fasting, in the eating window, you can eat between like a 2 and a 4 or a 12 and an 8 if you're doing more of an intermittent type. So he would do Monday through Thursday, 4-hour window. Thursday to Friday would be a 24-hour fast. So he would eat Friday night, and then he does more of an intermittent, like 12 to 8 or 8 to 4, right, type window, because it's family time. Okay. So it gives him more flexibility to be able to do the things on the weekends, which ties into one of the things that we hear so often, which is, how do I keep motivation on the weekends? Well, the weekends are no damn different than any other day. They all end in Y. Okay. It's just that in our brain, we program them to be like, oh, I can chill. Oh, I can relax. Oh, I don't have to work. Well, no, it's figuring out how that fits. And I loved his approach, and that's maintaining and working for him. For me, it's more of an OMAD type thing with date nights and planning for holidays and celebrations and those types of stuff. So, you know, it's just that people, I just don't know if there's enough. And this is why I love the live group trainings, because after 10 days, you know how to make all of these pivots.
Right. And it's those pivots. It's those little question marks that come up when you feel like you have the confidence to answer those questions for yourself. That's when you have the power to keep going for long term, to hit your goals and then to maintain. But it's when you are, you know, kind of going at it alone without the confidence and the reassurance for those questions that pop up, that's when it becomes easy to say, well, I'm not sure if I'm making the right choice here. And then kind of feel like you just fell off the wagon again. And then things kind of backslide, right? Like that's a pattern that we see sometimes. But for the functional medicine doc, that's his maintenance plan, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, because, you know, that's the other thing that we hear from a lot of people too, is I've been doing intermittent fasting for 3 months, 6 months, a year or two. Well, we get a lot of emails like that. And it looks something like a 16-8 type of schedule, but it's just not working for them. Well, if you think about it, this functional medicine doc does that 75% of the time, and that's his maintenance plan. So it's not really very surprising that the weight's not coming off when that's your tool, that's what you're using. So there's going to need to be more to it in order to actually get the weight off and then get to your maintenance point.
Which is one of the reasons why, one of the questions we get, which OMAD, well, why do you guys endorse OMAD? Well, OMAD is what worked for us. It's what worked for one of our biggest testimonials, Candace, who, you know, has lost 80 pounds up until this point, reversed her diabetes. And she did OMAD. I shouldn't say only OMAD, but she did OMAD every single day for a year. And that was that's all she did, right? Now she's in a time period where she has more flexibility. But guess what? She loves that her blood work looks great, her life looks great, and she feels and looks great. And she's like, you know what? I'm just going to stay here for a while. But, you know, with the doc that I was talking about, yeah, he's doing more than an intermittent window and to maintain. So like people that are doing intermittent, if you're not getting the results, you can't keep doing that over and over and over and again and expecting that end result to change. Like you probably need to push it a little bit. And that's where OMAD comes into play, or one meal a day. Because it gives you that just a little bit of extra time in between meals, which allows your body to burn that little bit of extra fat. And that adds up, you know, over the span of 30, 60, 90 days. You lose 50 pounds in 50 days, and that might seem obscene to some people, right? Because there's this thing out there of like, don't lose fat too fast, right? Like, okay, well, let's get it off and then figure it out. So you could do 60, 90 days of rapid fat loss. And then of course you're going to have to stop and reassess and, you know, let your body adapt. And there's all that, those physiological things that take place, like set points. And there's a psychological aspect, which I want to talk about, willpower. I keep mentioning it. I haven't gotten to it yet, but it's coming. So I just love the idea that, okay, yeah, if you've done intermittent, then and it's not working, then something's off. And it's usually a timing or a consumption problem.
Right. Or both.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. And, yeah. And again, that's why we spend a lot of time on that, especially at the beginning of the 10 days, because it's so important and helps kind of, you know, that's why we call it the ramp up. We're ramping up the process, going from a beginner's state. But even if you've done plenty of fasting in the past, we still break it down so that anybody can start there. And then you're still just building the pieces and the building blocks to, you know, to get to the top of the mountain.
And so for the Fast Start Guide, the mini masterclass, these challenges, the courses, we are working on this piece. Like, this is a piece that we've noticed is a big sticking point. It's a big request. It's a big, well, I don't know what to do next. You know, and the podcast can, you know, we can deliver some of that on it, but we're going to do better. So I want to talk about willpower and the fact that, you know, I was writing an email earlier this week that went out to a bunch of the people in our newsletter. And I was talking about, you know, the three options of what you can do this time of year, almost, you know, like in the framework of, you've done all this work, you made progress, 2020 has been a heck of a roller coaster of a ride. Like, let's get off the roller coaster, return to normalcy. Mm-hmm. Let's get back on track. Like, depending on where your starting point is, you've got some options. But a lot of it came down to this thought of like willpower, and that willpower is this mythical creature. And so I did, I was like, okay, what is willpower? Right. I'm like, what is it? Right. So the American, and you have a psychology degree. So thinking all the way back, right, to the days of the textbooks, the APA, or sorry, didn't mean that. I got a smile there.
Way back.
way back. Didn't mean it. I am the eldest statesman in our friend group, so I shouldn't talk. So according to the APA, it says the ability to delay gratification and resist short-term temptations to meet long-term goals. Great. Sounds awesome, right? The capacity to override an unwanted thought, feeling, or impulse. A little bit like emotional intelligence. I like it. The conscious, effortful regulation of self by the self. Well, self, if you're not doing great with something, it's pretty hard to regulate from a place of irregularity.
Yeah.
And a limited resource capable of being depleted. This is the one that I feel like is the problem when it comes to maintenance, and then also these plateaus that happen when you're in a fast or a massive weight loss phase where you're trying to lose fat and keep it off. You're trying to lose 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds. Mm-hmm. That's the one that really sticks out to me.
Yeah, because, you know, if we go back to the old diet model and the eat less, move more, and the calorie restriction, if you think about it, if you're sitting down for, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know, feeding sessions per day, a meal or a snack or whatever it may be, you're having to make decisions each time that you sit down, you know, to actually track those calories and to make the choices for what's on your plate and to keep in mind your total number of calories that you're trying to stay under for the day. Well, that's multiple willpower decisions at each meal time, then multiply that over a day and then over the weeks. And there's only so much of that to go around. And the less sleep you get, the less willpower you have. If you have any alcohol to drink, you have less willpower, right? If you have stress going on, if kids are talking in your ear or you know, trouble at work or at home or anything else like that, that's all weighing on your willpower. It drains it. So reframing all of what we're doing and coming at it at an angle that involves less of the willpower and more personal empowering decisions is really where we can kind of get off of that willpower train and not worry about the depleting resource so much.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, when we talk about the physiology of it, it's hormone driven. You've got the leptin and the ghrelin and the cephalic phase and all the digestive stuff. And you've got mm-hmm. insulin, which is a hormone. Like it's this big network of hormones controlling it. So, simply, like you just said, framing it, removing the triggers, and having a different mindset about it, where it's not a bad thing to say yes or no, or to think about anchoring to something greater, which is this whole idea of maintenance. Like, what does the end result look like and how am I going to get there? And that's what I loved about, there's a book called The Willpower Instinct. I have not read it, but I've seen a video explanation of it, and it's written by Kelly McGonigal. And she talks about three things where it's the I won't power, the I will power, and the I want power. And kind of explains, like, the I won't power is when your body's screaming, yes, I want that, and you say no. Like, that's willpower in the moment where you're like,
yeah,
oh, pizza, right into my belly. Like, I want the pizza. Like, my body is hungry. I'm screaming for pizza. And I say no. That's great. But that's finite.
Yeah. You can only do it so many times.
Right. And holidays, there's a lot more of those opportunities, right? So
yeah,
the second part was the I will power. And this is, I like this framework where it's saying yes to the things you will know that lead you closer to the end goal. And this is where willpower is typically a negative thing, but this is actually a positive reprogramming where you have the ability to say, yes, I am going to do this because it's going to get me to the end result, which is so much more powerful on the PFC or the prefrontal cortex or the brain and that neuroplasticity and that rebuilding of the habits. So I've loved that piece of it where you actually have a positive reinforcement here, even though we're talking about willpower, which is typically a bad thing that we run out of.
Yeah. So this is like where the doc was saying, I will set a 24-hour timer every Thursday after dinner, because I'm going to be waiting till Friday dinner when that's my date night. That's important to me. And I will be doing that every single time. But that's a positive reinforcement right there. And that's one of the things that we focus on too.
I love it. And then the third one, which I thought was cool, which is what we really go over often, especially when our coaching clients and even with myself, where it's like, okay, I'm a little off track here. Why? Okay, well, what is my why? What is my end goal? What is my end game? What is my legacy? What? And it's not just the, oh, I want to lose weight. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an exercise we do where you go five layers deep just by asking simple questions. And the I want power is really like remembering what we really want for the end goal. And I love how she talks about our brain has the ability, you know, to harness all three of those things within the one willpower matrix. We have the ability to say no at times, and we can strengthen that muscle. We have the ability to say yes, which positively reinforces us. And then we have the anchor, which is the why, which is the remembering what you really want for the end game, which is exactly the framework for what a maintenance type fasting schedule looks like. Because people with the OMAD say, am I going to do this the rest of my life? Well, are you where you want to be? Okay, great. So let's do this and focus hard for 6 months and then we'll reassess.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, there's more to that question too, but like, are you where you want to be? What do you want things to look like on a day-to-day basis when you get to that maintenance point too? So, that's such an interesting question. And each one has a different history to it whenever we get those. But you know, I think just understanding the difference between the finite portions of the willpower versus what your own decisions are once you actually have the tools to get there and how they separate. It's hard to understand that until you just get started and start feeling that shift happening. And then the ball gets rolling.
That was the exact motivation, not as articulated as well, because 11 months ago, we didn't know that, for the fast start guide and the one meal a day. Like, that's where it came from. Like, that was the empowering thing where it was like, oh, wait, like, some of this is starting to make sense and to fall into place. So we're refining the message, refining the delivery. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, fast start guide, go to the website, www.thefastingforlife.com. Click the button. You put in your email. It'll be sent to you. It's a one-page PDF, and then also comes with a little 20-minute six-video explanation of how to use OMAD, how to put it into your day-to-day life, how to start that weight loss phase, and how to make it stick. And then the other thing we have going on right now is the challenge, which you know about, December 3rd to December 12th. Registration closes in 2 days. It starts in 2 days. Registration closes tomorrow, Wednesday the 2nd. And just, we got a great group of people, lots of energy and excitement already. So go to the website, get registered. And Tommy, any last thoughts here on what they need to do? But I think we covered it, and I'm really excited that things are starting to become clearer as we're starting to ramp up for 2021.
Yeah, I really think they are. And I think things are falling into place for, you know, everyone who's kind of been on this journey with us. And it's just going to be an awesome end of the year and then into a great 2021. So I'm looking forward to it. So send us a message if you guys have any questions, and hope to see you on the inside.
All right. Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks. Bye. So you've heard today's episode and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free fast start guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.